Agenda item number 7, Chris O'Malley.
All right.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Mr. Chris O'Malley is requesting authorization to construct approximately 110 linear feet of riprap revetment along the eastern branch Elizabeth River at the residence of 4010 Ridgewood Court in Chesapeake. This project requires a sub-aqueous permit as well as a wetlands permit. And again, you're acting as the wetlands board because the city of Chesapeake has rescinded their wetlands ordinance. This particular property is a private residence that backs up to a small tributary to the Elizabeth River. The homeowners are new homeowners that have moved in within the last month. They would like to remove the existing bulkhead, which is deteriorated, as you can see in the picture below, and they would like to construct a riprap revetment that is very much comparable to the revetment that you see in the neighbor and across the waterway there. So at a site visit, on our initial site visit, we did see that previous owners had been mowing and maybe trimming some of the wetland vegetation in the area. So based off of that, the applicant did change their drawings a little bit to avoid any of the wetlands that should start growing again once they're done being trimmed. So as you can see here, they're proposing to build their riprap revetment just channelward of this salt marsh grass, which is salt bush. And you can see some little pieces of that salt bush here. And then they're going to extend all the way down to just about to where the neighbors have extended. And again, they're going to remove the existing bulkhead. So we did hold a public hearing on the 21st. There were no attendees at the public hearing. We also don't have any additional comments or conditions that were recommended by any of the other resource agencies. The construction of the revetment will result in a conversion of non-vegetated wetlands and submerged lands to intertidal riprap. No compensation is deemed necessary based off of our wetlands guidelines. That is because they are avoiding impacts to those vegetated wetlands once they start growing again. Although the project will still result in a hardened shoreline, the proposed riprap will provide improved habitat compared to the timber bulkhead and should provide a longer-lasting treatment to address any erosion with minimal disruption to the established vegetation landward of the structure. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the project and considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1302 and the wetlands mitigation and compensation policy, staff recommends approval of the project as proposed.
Questions from the commission? Mrs. Ebert.
In the picture, it looks like there's low thatch, low energy. Obviously, there's not a great amount of landward space, but was a living shoreline looked at as a possibility by the APCO staff?
It was discussed, and maybe the applicants really wanted to do the revetment so that they could tie it in with the neighbors, and they chose to go with the revetment. It is quite muddy, and you would have to do a lot of fill in order to do it, but it's a possibility at this site.
Would you recommend it if the homeowners didn't have preference to be consistent with the adjacent property owner?
I would recommend one or the other. I would recommend at least evaluating it to see if it was possible. However, they are avoiding the wetlands, which was, in my opinion, the biggest thing here. So, although there is going to be a revetment there, at least that high marsh is still going to be there. So there's still going to be tidal inundation above that revetment. We have discussed how to maintain that wetland, avoiding trimming, things of that sort. So the goal, at least in my opinion, is to try and keep that marsh healthy and still give them what they're requesting. Mm-hmm.
Is there any kind of – sorry, just –
Yeah, go ahead.
Is there any kind of – a surety either by the homeowner as a goodwill statement of we won't mow, we will plant vegetation, we will kind of keep that high marsh intact? Or,
so
I don't know if they're here, so sorry if I'm not
Mr. O'Malley is here. The applicant is here. So that's definitely something he can answer as well. So that vegetation is protected. It can be trimmed, and trimming actually for saltbush is nice because they'll get really large, but if you trim them, they'll turn into kind of a nice hedge. If I were to get any complaints or anything of that sort, I would definitely head back to the applicant's home and discuss those things with them. However, I'm not sure what else I can do to confirm that they're going to treat it the way we want them to treat it.
Mr. Ballard?
What's the elevation difference from the top of the bulkhead to mean low?
I would say that's probably 2 feet.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Rachel. I had similar questions. Mr. Malley, are you present?
Yes, sir.
Would you come forward, please, sir? Thank you. I think the board wants to hear from you. Let me swear you in. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Chris O'Malley.
Welcome, Mr. O'Malley. What else do we need to know about this project? And you also heard some of the board's questions. So,
yes,
floor is yours.
Essentially, a Class A contractor who specializes in this type of stuff is going to be the one constructing everything. I am a Class A now, but wasn't at the time, so he's going to be doing all the project. Basically, I own the property, renovated the property, and then sold it to the new homeowners with the anticipation of putting in a rock bulkhead, which we didn't think would be a problem because all the neighbors have the same thing. So I hired a contractor to fill out the paperwork and do all that to apply for the permit, and he's not here today.
So the property has been sold. You're no longer the owner, and when the applicant, when this permit decision is made, you're out of the picture?
No, because I'm paying for it, so... I'm technically involved until it's approved.
Okay.
It's all done. I'm cutting the check. So.
I think we're going to have some questions from the board here.
Mrs.
Everett.
Thank you. So I guess the question is, did the new homeowner seem to only want a riprap revetment, or was a living shoreline a possibility, or did you not get into that detail?
We didn't get into that detail. Basically, okay. We were just trying to kind of conform with the rest of the neighborhood and what everybody else had. And when I talked to the contractor, he came out and evaluated, and he said riprap would be the best option for that specific spot. It is tidal water, obviously, as you can see, and there's really not a whole lot of current that flows back there. So we kind of assumed that this would be he decided that would be the best route to go.
Other questions from the board? Mr. Seedren.
I don't know if you were there when this project was put in there. Did they widen that channel through there for the benefit of the neighborhood that they put in?
I'm not sure. You're talking about widening the actual channel itself? Yeah, I wasn't there then. I bought it, I think, April or May of last year.
Okay.
And we sold in December.
Other questions from the board? Thank you, Mr. O'Malley.
No problem.
I have one comment.
Please.
So Mr. O'Malley and the applicant are both signatories to the joint permit application, so both are held responsible for adhering to any decisions that we make here today. So even though so we can think of it as almost two applicants, both can be held equally responsible.
Okay, that's good enough. Mr. Zeter.
Is there some sort of bond or escrow? I mean, the way I see this thing, you got a seller of a piece of property, you got a proposal. What about cost overruns, all that kind of stuff? Is there a bond that's going to be required of the seller to assure compliance with the plan?
We have the option of doing so. However, again, because they're both signatories to the plan and the homeowner has signed as well as the applicant has signed, both of them are held responsible for adhering to.
Right, here's a follow-up question. So then does the new owner know that if it ain't done right by the seller, that the money's coming out of his pocket? Does he know that?
Yes, because I had her specifically sign the application after. So when the application came in, only Mr. O'Malley was the applicant. And after meeting with the homeowner on the property, I did tell her that she needs to be an additional signatory on the application. So she did have the application, and she did sign the signature page.
Mr. Watkinson, you are lurking.
I just want to kind of add that if it's an agreement on who pays for what and who's responsible for the work between the new owners and the contractors, we wouldn't get involved in that. A bond or a surety might be required on our end if we thought there was some aspect of the project that might go awry and we'd want to have it corrected after we go back and inspect it post-construction. But there wasn't anything that significant here out of the ordinary that we would do that for. We don't usually put many bonds on these type of construction projects, and so we were not recommending that in this case. But the types of, I guess, bonds and agreements you're talking about, I think, are more between the new owner and the developer.
Thank you.
Ms. Rockinson, question for me. There are ramifications, are there not, if the project is not constructed as permitted?
That's correct. We go out and inspect these to make sure it goes in as proposed and constructed in conformance with the plans and drawings.
And if it is not?
Then it's a violation, and we bring it back to you for consideration if they don't correct it to comply with the permit drawings.
Feel better?
My comment is that, you know, this is not uncommon, and usually there's a certain allocation of funds that are made for the project. And then when the project runs awry because of land conditions or whatever, the seller says, this is your budget, it's over with, and I'm not doing anymore. The buyer comes to us and says, I ain't got no money, and I can't do it. And so I hear what you're saying, but I've represented Chesapeake Redevelopment Housing Authority for like 18 years or more, and these things come up all the time. And so here we are. The seller's gone, the buyer don't have the money, and the project is not completed in accordance with their desire, and so it sits. And so that's where I bring up the thing with the bond. I mean, especially in this kind of scenario where you already got a change in ownership. I mean, it's just a way of life. I mean, seller, he made his deal, and the deal's going to be based on what he thought. But when the conditions change out there, he's going to say, I didn't anticipate that. That's what change orders are all about in their government system, is about unforeseen consequences. And that's what my concern is a buyer is looking to get the deal done. And you know, and here's my concern about when you talk about signing is one thing, but paying's the other. And I don't know what this project costs, but if you're talking 10, 20, 30, 40,000 extra bucks, to a buyer, that makes a big difference, and that's my concern, is to look out for the buyer in this kind of situation.
Mr. Malley, would you come on back up? Let's address this head on, if you would.
Yeah, so basically what we have done, I'm a licensed real estate agent in the state of Virginia as well. I sell my own real estate. So what we have done is we've signed an addendum prior to closing that states the seller is liable for any cost associated with the bulkhead, with installing the rock bulkhead, and that the addendum is intended to survive closing. Essentially, that merges with the deed, buyer's covered, I'm covered. I've already paid the contractor to do the work. We escrowed the funds at closing, so that's been paid already. So all that's taken care of. Thank if there's you. Overage, I just cut a check for it. That's the nature of doing business. So.
Well, thank you.
Mr. Ballard?
I understand those concerns, and I think at the end of the day I look at this, and although not perfect, it is an improvement and better what's there currently from an environmental perspective, and that even if the work isn't done, it's not like this is a new project or they're asking for anything. This is an improvement. So if it's the project's not done, it's just going to be status quo. I lean towards when people are trying to make things better and a softening of the shoreline, although not perfect, it is a good goal. And when ready, I move to approve staff recommendation.
Well, before we get to that point here, Mr. any other questions for Mr. Malley? Thank you, Mr. Malley.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask again if there's anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter, either pro or con. Anybody want to talk? Okay. Public hearing is now closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Let's start with a bit of a discussion. Mr. Ballard's already led that off. Anybody else have anything to add? Mr. Tankard?
I would concur with Mr. Ballard. I mean, I think we're seeing an improvement of what's there now, and it's certainly no different than what is around the project site. I would have no trouble voting for this project.
Mrs. Eppert?
I'm fine with that. I don't think at this point in the process, I don't think we necessarily need to, you know, encourage everyone to start over. But I guess to me, I'm just wondering, is in the future a missed opportunity that can be avoided for this kind of parcel, where if staff thinks it could be looked at, where can you, and this is a future discussion point or educational opportunity potentially for the commission and staff, where can you intervene in the process where after the contractor comes and says, do a rep, all the contractor fees or the consulting fees have gone in to plan that out and go through the permitting process, and then it's before us, and you know, you don't want to turn the aircraft carrier around at this point, but I guess to me, I'm just wondering, is there an opportunity at some point to discuss?
Yeah, there is.
Ms. Watkinson.
I'm sorry. As we review these projects and we see opportunities for changes or minimization of impacts or application of living shoreline principles, certainly we have the responsibility to start discussions like that with the homeowners or with the applicants to see if we can improve the project. There are issues at times which dictate you can't do but so much given the site conditions. And if you look at this here, you got a very narrow waterway. And what we've got here essentially is a rock revetment that's acting like a sill because it's protecting the fringing marsh that's in front of it. But we haven't recommended they go offshore and create any more wetland fringe in there because it's so narrow. And I got a feeling, too, that that substrate in there is pretty muddy and pretty soft, and I don't know how much it's going to support if you start going out very far with a revetment. We haven't done that kind of geotechnical work, but sometimes a little bit of common sense goes a long ways in trying to figure out what's the best approach to take in these situations. And so we've ended up where we are in this situation, given the circumstances of the site. But as you've requested, we attempt to make those kind of changes or recommend those changes. And if the applicant doesn't want to go forward with something we recommend, it will be here as a wetland case in, say, Chesapeake, because we deal with those. At the other local levels, it's those wetland boards that deal with them. And while there might be suggestions to make take different approaches, it's up to those boards to make those decisions in those circumstances.
Okay, great. And just one further follow-up question to that. Sure. And I still think I personally would benefit from more discussion on the matter, kind of the points of influence and education for wetland board members, staff, homeowners, contractors, et cetera. Obviously, it's a very large category and only when time allows, but just the kind of broader, again, opportunity to encourage more living shorelines, even though, of course, numbers are increasing with the two general permits. But just one follow-up question related to that is it possible, and do staff typically, do they say for that upland fringe marsh on the landward side of the revetment, you know, are there certain guidelines or there conditions that you could say to encourage full habitat and pollution prevention of that, or
I guess
is that not possible, or maybe part of that broader discussion? But
it might be. In this case, we hadn't recognized the need to do anything other than just allow it to grow back. You know, they could maybe do some minor trimming of the bushes, but we wouldn't want them cutting it to eliminate it in the future. I mean, that would be something that would be a wetland violation issue that we could pursue if it's not allowed to grow back.
Okay. And again, maybe I could benefit personally if we maybe further that discussion.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussions from the board? Commission operates on motions.
I move that we approve staff recommendation.
Second.
It's a motion by Mr. Neal to approve the staff recommendation and approve the project. Second by Mr. Miner. Any discussion on the motion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. And the project is approved. Mr. Malley, you got your permit.
Yes, sir.